Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Triveni Engineering & Industries Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishab Barar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good day, everyone, and a warm welcome to all of you participating in the Triveni Engineering & Industries Limited's Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Tarun Sawhney, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Suresh Taneja, Group CFO, Mr. Samir Sinha, CEO, Sugar Business Group, as well as other members of the senior management team. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature, and the statement to this effect has been included in the invite which was sent to everybody earlier. I would like to also emphasize that while this call is open to all invitees, it may not be broadcasted or reproduced in any form or manner. We will start this call with opening remarks from the management, following an interactive question and answer session. I will now request Mr. Tarun Sawhney to open the call. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q1 fiscal 2023 earnings conference call for Triveni Engineering & Industries Limited. I'd like to offer you a quick update on the concluded sugar season 2021-22, where we're pleased to report that the company has reported a good performance despite the trends of low yields and recovery, especially in the state of Uttar Pradesh. As far as the engineering businesses are concerned, they have both performed well with robust order booking, and we remain excited about their growth prospects. Some of the financial highlights of the quarter include revenues from operations, which came in at 1,225 crores, registering an 18.2% increase, which was primarily driven by higher sugar and alcohol dispatches, along with some higher realizations. The profit before tax was 88.6 crores, declining by 28.4% on a year-on-year basis, primarily because of the previous corresponding quarter, which included a 45.3 crore export subsidy in fiscal 2021. The profit after tax, as I mentioned, stood at 66.45 crores, a decline of just under 30%, which was on account of the aforementioned subsidy. Distillery revenues, net of excise and profitability, grew substantially due to the commissioning of our additional capacities of 200 KLPD during the quarter, which resulted in increased sales volumes. The engineering business reported a 33% increase in turnover with robust order booking. The outstanding order book for the engineering business stood at 1,889 crores for the combined engineering business, which was up from 1,746 crores. It was up about 8%. On a consolidated basis, our total debt stood at 1,617 crores on the 30th of June against 1,568 crores on March 31st, 2022. This comprised of 462 crores of term loans. The total debt on a standalone basis, of course, was lower on the 30th of June at 1,541 crores against 1,503 crores on March 31st, 2022. As of today, it comprises of term debt of 386 crores, with almost all loans again under inter-interest subvention or at subsidized rates of interest. The higher debt level that we've experienced as of the 30th of June is due to extremely fast sugarcane price payment and some higher stocks, but primarily because of the much faster cane price payment. To give you some statistics, of course, there are no outstanding dues as of the 30th of June 2022, whereas in the previous quarter of the corresponding year, there was dues of 213 crores, and the year before that, sorry, there was 213 crores as of March 31st, 2022, and 272 crores as of 30/22/21. The overall cost of funds is at 5.07%, which is lower than 5.2% in the previous year. Turning to the businesses, as far as the sugar business is concerned, we achieved a crush of 8.41 million tons of sugarcane with a gross recovery of 11.7%, producing approximately 0.89 million tons of sugar. This is very much in line with the communication that I've had over the last couple of quarters with you in terms of the slightly lower net recovery, gross recovery, the slightly lower gross recovery that we would have experienced this year because of inclement weather, very high temperatures in late March and April, and of course earlier unseasonal rainfalls at the beginning of the season. On the realization front during the quarter, our average domestic realization was 35.29 rupees per quintal, up 5.7% year on year. The current sugar prices at our factories for refined are 36.30 for refined sugar and 35.60 approximately for 150s. The company has not exported any sugar during the quarter, and inventories as of the 30th of June stood at 46.8 lakh quintals valued at 32.2 rupees per kilo. At the same time, at last year, inventories were lower at 45.12 lakh quintals. The cogeneration operations achieved external sales of just under 17 crores during the quarter under review versus 14.2 crores in Q1 fiscal 22, an increase of 19%. Looking at the domestic, at the industry scenario, and first at the domestic balance sheet, for the current season, 2021, our estimates, Romanian estimates, are for domestic consumption of approximately 27.35 million tons, and we expect exports of sugar to be, of course, a shade more than 11 million tons. The production will conclude at our estimate of 36.2 million tons, and this is after considering a diversion of 3.4 million tons of sugar into ethanol. Considering the opening stocks of 8.2 million tons in October 1, 2021, this would imply a total stock of just a shade above 6 million tons on the 30th of September, which is sufficient for 2.25 months of domestic consumption, which is the intention by the government. In May 22, the government had capped sugar exports at 10 million tons. And of course, we're expecting a small increase in terms of export, which will raise the total exports up to above 11 million tons. However, by the 30th of September, we estimate that 11 million tons certainly will have been exported. For sugar season 22-23, based on our research and initial estimates, the total acreage across the country is expected to be about 58.2 lakh hectares, a 4% increase from 55.83 lakh hectares in the previous year. I think that's very encouraging on multiple fronts, most importantly for the ethanol blending program. Based on the current sowing patterns of rainfall and crop conditions, we estimate sugar production in 2023 to be higher at around over 40 million tons before considering the diversion towards ethanol. And we expect about 4.5 million tons of diversion towards ethanol. With that, the country will require 8 million tons of exports. And it's important that the government recognizes that number and releases that much, at least as quickly as possible, for exports over the next sugar year. And this will lead to a closing balance of, again, a shade above 6 million tons, which is the number, the magic number that is considered acceptable by all players in this industry, especially the government. As far as the international sugar scenario is concerned, the global outlook has now moved to a surplus of 2 to 3 million tons for the 2022-23 season, as compared to a marginal surplus expected for this season. This is mainly due to an increase in production in Asia, of course, India being a very large contributor, and, of course, Brazil. for the 22-23 season in Asia, apart from the substantial increase expected in India and also some increase in Pakistan, the production will increase in Thailand after a series of disappointing seasons, and we expect a rebound with Chinese sugarcane production as well. Meanwhile, in Central South Brazil, the sugarcane crop is expected to recover next season as it moves beyond the drought impact that that has impacted the present and previous season. Although the mills in Brazil are likely to divert more sugarcane towards ethanol in the coming year, given where crude prices are at this particular point in time. Global sugar prices have softened after touching 20.27 cents per pound in April 22. The New York number 11 raw sugar future month is currently hovering between 17.5 and just a shade above, up to 18 odd cents per pound. Similarly, London whites are now trading at $522 a ton, down from about $570 a ton earlier this year. Now, a lot of this has to do with the global events, dollar strengthening, those two being the primary contributors, and of course, as a result, we've seen a little bit of softening. However, I think we're seeing certainly a lot of bottom formation in our opinion. We can expect, as the next Indian sugar season commences, slightly firmer prices going forward, and homes, of course, for Indian sugar to be available. Turning to our alcohol business, during the quarter, we commissioned an additional 200 KLPD. As a result, our production went up by 57.7% to 42,200 kiloliters. We, of course, sold substantially higher quantities of alcohol, and up about 42%, and the realization also increased by 7% to an average realization of 57.8 rupees per litre. As a result, of course, the PBIT and profitability of the business was also substantially higher. In respect to the financial performance of distillery operations, due to realizations, higher realizations due to the product mix, an increase in the ethanol price, commissioning of additional capacity has resulted, of course, in the higher sales volumes. The ethanol produced from B-heavy molasses constitutes 90% of the sales volume in the current quarter, against 81% in the corresponding period of the previous year. Subsequent to the quarter, the company has enhanced its overall capacity to 660 KLPD. Again, very much in line with the conversation that I've had with you over the last couple of earnings conference calls. We have certainly met the target, and this is despite supply chain constraints and material price variances that have happened over the course of the last, over the course of this, of the previous calendar year, of this calendar year. And I think it is quite a substantial achievement. And therefore, as we stand today, the unit-wise capacities are as follows. Milak Narayanpur, which is a dual feed plant at 200 KLPD. Sabitgarh at 200 KLPD. Muzaffarnagar facility comprising of 200 KLPD on molasses and 60 KLPD on grain, and 260 KLPD totaling, or totaling 660 KLPD. The industry scenario, out of the 449 crore litres, which was finalized by the OMCs for supply in 2021, the procurement, the requirement, of course, is of 456 crore litres. Against the above, 282 crore litres have been lifted by the OMCs, and the average blending until the 17th of July stood at just above 10%. So I think it's a huge, huge achievement for the nation thus far. Of course, the road ahead is quite exciting and filled with greater, substantially greater quantities of ethanol. During the next year, 2023, it's estimated that 545 crore litres of ethanol will be required, and that will amount to an average blending of 12% for the nation. During this quarter, the OMCs have declared relief on the dispatch of ethanol for supplies made from 1st June to 30th November, ranging from 1,179 to 2,337 rupees per kiloliter, depending, of course, on the feedstock. We're happy to give you the details of that. It is also publicly available information. And Triveni will benefit greatly from its higher dispatches because of more distillery capacity that has come on stream going forward until the end of this ethanol year. Turning very quickly to the engineering business, at an aggregate level, we've reported strong revenue growth of 33% during this current quarter compared to the corresponding period last year. For the power transmission business, revenue grew by just under 8% to 30.5 crores. And the order booking, which is the most important factor, grew at 41.5% and stood at just under 54 crores. The total closing order book was 243 crores plus, which is a substantial increase compared to the previous quarter, the previous corresponding quarter, etc. And it is a direct result of the huge improvement and increase in industrial activity that we're seeing not just domestically but also internationally. Some of this order booking growth has come about also with the addition of larger orders from our existing OEMs around the world. Turning to our water business, revenues grew by almost 50% to 65 odd crores with a PBIT of 2.5 crores. The closing order book grew 4% to 1,645 crores. The water business group has completed construction of various facilities of the company's Mathura Hybrid Annuity Model HAM project, which is for the National Mission of Clean, NMCG, National Mission of Clean Ganga, and in association with the Uttar Pradesh Jal Nigam. Part of these facilities have already passed through the performance guarantee test successfully, and the balance ones are ongoing. During this quarter, I'm very happy to also announce that we've received our second international order, a large order in Bangladesh. This is an EPC order under a joint venture agreement with a local Bangladeshi company where 170 crores is our share of work in this very important order. As you remember, we had an important order that we had received from the government of Maldives, and so this is again a substantial expansion that we're doing, especially within the South Asian market and beyond, in terms of expanding our canvas. The company is expecting robust order booking in coming quarters as well. Very quickly on the outlook of all our various businesses. For sugar, the upcoming season, with an increase of 4% cane area, better crop health, more focused crop surveillance pretty much across the country. And when I speak of Triveni, certainly we're doing a tremendous amount of efforts in the field with respect to crop surveillance, with respect to mitigating any types of pests, etc., that can occur from time to time, and monitoring the growth of our cane crop. But I can see that across the country there has been sustained efforts by most people in the industry, given the great value of sugarcane to the industry and to the farming community. Based on our current forecast of monsoon and crop health, we're anticipating an increase in recoveries, certainly in Uttar Pradesh. As far as Triveni is concerned, our previous announcement of debottlenecking and modernization is progressing well, and we expect these activities to be completed by October 22, as we had communicated earlier. On our alcohol and distillery business, yesterday, at the board meeting of the company, the directors have approved the expansion program to set up two new dual feedstock, that is, sugarcane-derived and grain distilleries, with an aggregate capacity of 450 kiloliters per day at Rani Nangal and at Sabitgarh, subject to, of course, receipt of the necessary statutory clearances. This will raise our total distillation capacity to 1,110 kiloliters per day, at an aggregate cost of approximately 460 crores. We expect that these distilleries will commence commercial production in Q3 of fiscal 24, so about a year and a quarter plus away. We have full confidence in the commitment of the Government of India's ethanol blending program, and as such, the augmentation of our capacities on a dual stock basis will provide us with sufficient flexibility to select the feedstock based on commercial considerations and economics. Overall, the distillery expansions will lead to significant growth in turnover and profitability in this segment. Looking quickly at the engineering business's outlook, our power transmission business, we believe that there is significant growth expected in the domestic economy. This is a direct result of the Atmanirbhar Bharat program, which will drive capex across domestic end-user industries. Power transmission business is focused on increasing global market share and global footprint as well across a variety of different sectors, and we're seeing tremendous activity within the power, cement, fertilizer, petrochemical, steel, sugar and ethanol sectors, to name a few. The defense business is also poised very well and is expected to grow. The expanding portfolio of products that we're developing, tendering and producing is growing quite substantially, and this will augur very well for Triveni's medium to long-term growth. Lastly, our water business is expected to achieve many new successes in the upcoming quarters. There are several new opportunities that are arising out of center and state-funded schemes, and we see huge bidding opportunities, including in EPC and in HAM projects. And I think that is very, very exciting because those are fantastic structures, and we are definitely, Triveni's water business is a leader in terms of execution of HAM projects. In the water business, the growing water scarcity is catalyzing new opportunities, and this is the fundamental reason for an increase in business, where the areas of recycled, reuse, and zero liquid discharge are growing across the country and leading to more opportunities. We believe that the disruption caused by the pandemic is largely over, and normalcy of the business environment has returned. A quick update before we open up to questions on the Triveni Turbine divestment. As you're aware, on the 9th of May, 2022, the board of directors had decided to divest the company's entire shareholding of Triveni Turbine Limited shares of approximately 21.85%. The matter of TTL divestment is under progress, and we're hopeful of generating the demand and concluding this transaction early. The company will make appropriate disclosures in due course. Thank you very much. I'd like to open it up for questions.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. If time permit, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The first question is from the line of Riya from Equiras Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to ask a question. So my first question would be, you just mentioned in your commentary that we have been trying to increase the recovery. So I think last few calls also we've been talking about the new varieties we are working with. So what kind of improvement are we seeing there in terms of recovery?
So the question is, there are two portions to this answer. The first is, we are already working on our crop health per se through a very structured surveillance program to minimize the impact of any pests, diseases, insects, etc. So that should lead us, along with better climatic conditions, should lead us to an increase in recovery. Secondly, we have a plan, a medium-term plan of 3 years to reduce our dependence on CO0238 and go in for the newer varieties, which are 15023, but largely the proven varieties of 0118 and 98014. So this is the basket of varieties that we are focusing on going forward, and we are looking at the performance of 15023, which have been grown in our pilot demonstration plants.
So how much would this form in our next year's crop, and what kind of recovery do we look at? Like any qualitative outlook on that?
So, you know, yes, we can give you a qualitative. We can't give you a quantitative outlook because it's very challenging given where we are in the cycle right now. But these, you see, with a further very micromanaged process of cane development and cane health, more importantly, the subject of cane health within cane development, we are certainly looking at two things. It's not just recovery, but it's also yield, which leads to greater cane availability. So we're certainly, at this point in time, encouraged by the yields that we're seeing. They are higher than the previous year. It's difficult to give you the percentage because we're in the grand growth phase at this particular point in time, but we see greater number of tillers, we see greater cane height, and we will be in a better position, certainly in a couple of months, to be able to tell you. The moment the monsoon season finishes, to be able to tell you where we're at that particular point in time. The second, with respect to recovery. Now, recovery is influenced by a variety of different factors, as you are well aware. One of those controllable factors is pests. So last year, we did see some disease. It didn't impact Triveni, but it did impact other parts of Uttar Pradesh. This is a disease called red rot on 238. Our impact was minimal at best, actually. It was very small. And that is something that we have certainly covered. But there was a small impact of top border, which again, you know, when the cane is at the height that it is, that you can do very little about. When you can do something about it is now. And that sort of very micro level, field to field, acre to acre type intervention will ensure that the health of the crop is better. And that is a direct contributor towards increased recovery. You can see the recovery trends that we've had in the last few years. And if you sort of map and validate, you can see what the top potential ends are. So far we're looking at everything sort of, you know, all guns blazing, everything going rather well with no negatives at this particular point.
And just to supplement Mr. Sawhney's answer, you know, we are also in the midst of our debottlenecking and modernization, which will enhance our net crush rates. So therefore, we feel that during December, etc., when there is some incidence of field staling, that would be taken care of, which will also positively impact our recoveries going forward.
Okay, so basically, actually, I was reading your presentation and mentioned that the sugar production in the next season is estimated to be 40 million tons. Which as against 39.6. So it's more or less flattish. So why do we feel so?
No, we expect the overall production to be higher than 40, just a shade above 40 million tons. We feel that because there's greater cane area and the monsoon across the country is normal. So it will lead to more cane availability, greater crush. We also believe that the factories in Maharashtra and Karnataka will be starting their seasons in very early October so that they can crush all this very, very large quantum of cane because they do have capacity issues in that part of the country. As a result, a shade above 40 million tons is achievable with Uttar Pradesh also returning to a healthier state.
Sorry to interrupt you, Ria. I will request you to come back in the question for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Lokesh Maru from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Congratulations on healthy set of numbers. I wanted to just one clarification on our ethanol production, which is when we say 90% is B heavy, is that after deducting the 18% of ENA, so 90% of 82% of total ethanol that we produce? Is that interpretation correct?
No, that interpretation is not correct. I mean, there is a factory of ours which produces C-heavy, which we give out as levy molasses. So whatever is the quantum that we have produced, which is and dispatched, let's say, which is of 389 lakh liters, in this quarter, 90% of that is B-heavy ethanol. And ethanol as a total percentage of this 389 is about 94%.
Okay, so 90% of 94%.
Right? Yeah, 90% of 389, not 90% of 94.
Understood. Okay, sir, and just lastly, a sense on how's the current monsoon impacting currently at this point in time the sugarcane crop in our command area? Any clue or any hints towards that?
See, our factories are spread across the state of UP, and definitely other than in two factories, this year in July, there had been a little less rainfall than previous year. But a large number of these factories have deep low-lying areas. So to that extent, it is good for us. The couple of factories which had somewhat more upland area, which were, about to face some water stress, etc., there have been heavy rainfalls towards the end of July, continuing in early August, which has taken care of that. So there is no water stress. And going forward in the second phase of monsoons, the forecast is for a normal monsoon, both in North and India, which will take care of our units also.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you said that we are setting up a new distillery on the dual feed. So can you just explain a little more, I mean, which is the second feedstock that are we going to use and the economy of that refinery? That is first question, and second I'll come back.
Sure. So we've already established and are currently processing grain. Rice actually at our existing distillery at Millet Narayanpur, which was established on the 5th of April, commissioned on the 5th of April of this year, and the results of which are of course included in our quarterly result statements. The two new distilleries again will follow the same engineering format of dual feed. They are primarily designed to process the grains that are available in North India, especially where our factories are, is primarily rice. However, we will have the flexibility of using other grains as well. And of course, the second product will be sugarcane juice or B-heavy molasses, etc.
But sir, I mean, in terms of
the economics, at this particular point in time, given what the prices are, including the small increase that has been made by the government of India a few weeks ago, the highest profitability is for B-heavy molasses, followed by grain, followed by juice.
Okay. And second thing, sir, now recently the government has announced this increase in FRP. So how that's will affect our profitability? And second, when government is thinking of putting up say 20% blend, so from that, in that scenario, how much will be the additional requirement of ethanol will be there? And second, the prices of the ENA, do we produce ENA and sell? So how the economy between this ethanol and ENA works out?
Okay. I'm very happy that you've asked this question. As far as FRP increase is concerned, our sugar factories are in Uttar Pradesh. In Uttar Pradesh, we pay a state-advised price, and therefore we're not impacted by FRP. The FRP increase that has happened just now is a net increase of only 7.5 rupees, because the base has also been increased, and that's something for you to consider when you look at the impact on other companies in other states. But as far as Triveni is concerned, it has no direct impact in terms of cane price. The impact is important with respect to the directional increase that can be expected from ethanol prices going forward. Since the government is looking at the ethanol program as a direct program to benefit farmers, the increase in ethanol prices that will happen for the next year, I think there are strong correlations between the increase in FRP and
the industry's expectation of increase in ethanol prices going forward. So from that perspective, it augurs very well for Triveni going forward. Next, with respect to your delta between ENA and ethanol, I think there is a sense of parity. I mean, yes, demand supply does vary from month on month, but broadly speaking, it will keep pace with the increase in ethanol prices as we go forward. You had another question in there, which I think I'm missing.
Yeah. And sir, on this increasing the, I mean, yield of the sugar, and we are working on these micro processes, I mean, what you say. So
yes.
Some of it has been already started, and what are the yield improvement and what will be the economy of that also? Because even if government has to go for, say, 20% blending, the sugar cane crop has to increase substantially. Without that,
yes,
of course, dual feed will do, but so how that whole economy will really play out for, that is, one is that currently it is on, lot of concessions are given, and it's, but if one, once it becomes a free trade of ethanol, so how, what will be the really OMC, and if from whole eco point of view will work out?
Sure. Okay. The point, of course, is in your question was how much more ethanol is required for 20% blending. It will be well above 1,000 crore liters. So let's say the estimate for next year is 545. It's doubled that, maybe. So let's say 1,000 crore liters is what is required for 20% ethanol blending. Now, you ask an important question. In the ramp up to 20% ethanol blending, the contribution of the sugar industry is quite important, contributing at least 65-odd%. So two-thirds will come from sugarcane and one-third will come from grain. It requires expansion of distilleries for both sectors, frankly speaking, going forward. The increases in yields and the change that is happening across the country and the yields that we're seeing, I think these are very, very encouraging steps in terms of our short-term move. Because 25-26 is literally short-term. Our short-term objectives of 20% ethanol blending. I personally believe that a lot of this, we already have a lot of sugarcane that is diverted to the unorganized sector in parts of the country. So, you know, there is the quantum of cane that is available is quite substantial. It is growing quite substantially. The kind of work that Triveni is doing is enhancing our yield by leaps and bounds over the same time period. And we will, of course, then have that kind of feedstock available to feed our distilleries, which we're also establishing concurrently. I personally believe that the sugarcane industry is well settled in terms of being able to deliver that 20% or contribute 66% towards that 20% ethanol blending level. But as I mentioned, this is a short-term level. Beyond that, there is already a lot of talk about E85 and higher blend levels. And therefore, you know, that is the next step in terms of what will need to happen in the country. As you know, the sugarcane farmer gets the best return of all the staple crops across the country. So I don't see any farmer pretty much going away from sugarcane in the near term. Companies like Triveni, of course, pay in such an accelerated manner that farmers want to grow more and more. The gain intensity will increase as time goes by and therefore feed directly into the E20 program and beyond.
That's fair. But my question is, again, I mean, for the economy of the OMC also. Currently, government
is... I wanted to also mention, you mentioned that there are subsidies given. There are no subsidies given. The ethanol industry gets some interest subvention, which is only on the debt portion. But it is a small contributor and certainly not a make or break in terms of setting up plant capacity. As far as the ethanol OMCs are concerned, this is really about a national agenda. I think you're forgetting that. The agenda, India imports a massive amount of crude. Our current account surpluses are growing to unimaginable levels. You know, we're at 3% already. And frankly speaking, to develop a national energy program, which includes the development of a nationwide ethanol policy and ethanol production policy, is absolutely vital. So I stand, of course, you know, completely behind the central government's agenda of not just ensuring that we have greener fuel, so we have a positive pollution impact, which is extremely important. And number two, in terms of saving precious foreign exchange, which will have an impact on inflation, on the currency, and on other broad macroeconomic parameters. And therefore, that is something that will benefit everybody, including the OMCs, as we go forward.
Sorry to interrupt you, Bharat. I'll request you to rejoin the queue. Participants are strictly restricted to ask two questions at a time. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Anupam Goswami from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. So my first question on the recovery of this month. This month we have seen a 40 basis points lower recovery, whereas in previous quarters we were anticipating about 20 basis points of a lower recovery for the whole season. Today we are a little lower than that. And also, given this quarter, some late sugarcane is crushed, wouldn't it be a little expected that recovery should have been improved? But it actually did not happen. So what was the reason on that side, sir?
Very, very short answer. As I had mentioned in my opening remarks, we had some very unseasonal weather. There was a massive heat wave across North India that started at the end of March and went through April. You're absolutely right. The best recoveries in the sugar industry, going back a decade, even longer, have always been in the month of April and early May. The best recoveries by far. However, we had 3 to 4 degrees centigrade higher temperatures during this entire period, which created significant field-related problems and curtailed that increase in recovery that we would have seen in the sugarcane crop this year. That is the reason.
Okay, sir. So my next question is on the, now that you mentioned that there is a global outlook of surplus, and Brazil and Asia, Thailand also coming back to the surplus production, will and necessary to maintain 6 million closing stock and 8 million export is required. So do we need an government support and subsidy again for this kind of export, given the outlook on the global surplus production and prices?
Well, the surplus production is of 2-3 million tons. So, you know, yes, there is a slight surplus, but I think the world needs India's sugar. The fact that India has been an exporter for several years now means that we have really deep roots in certain countries that import sugar close to us, whether it be Bangladesh or Sri Lanka or Indonesia or towards the east, if you look at the Middle East, Iran and the eastern seaboard of Africa. These are big homes. India's geographical proximity. And the time at which we export sugar matches the time at when they need the sugar. So India's role in global trade is absolutely vital. Now the question about exporting and the viability of exports, prices go up and down. I think looking forward to the full future and looking at future prices, they all go quite well, frankly speaking. We've had some disruptions. The disruptions have been because of geopolitical events and also because of a strengthening dollar. But I see that India can certainly export sugar, especially the coastal states, as we move into the next season. In fact, they're already gearing up quite substantially to be able to export this quantity of sugar. One point that I would like to leave with you is that if the nation has exported in excess of 11 million tons, which is a total record, something that people could not have believed even 12 months ago, I think our capacity to be able to quickly export sugar as well and evacuate this sugar quickly is something that that will certainly happen. So whatever the quantity that is released by the government for exports, I see that getting fulfilled in the very, very near term, meaning Q4 of this calendar year and latest Q1 of the next calendar year.
Okay. Okay, sir. I can look.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question was with respect to our capacity expansion on distillery front. First is a 450 KLPD expansion. We have talked about dual feedstock. So is I wanted to know if it is going to be broadly grain based or it would be going to be more on molasses based, and what is the payback period for the this capex of around 460 crores?
I'm sorry, just repeat, what is the what for 460 crores?
Payback.
Right. Okay, so firstly, let me just say that it is dual feed. So it can take both grain as well as sugarcane derivatives. So it is not a portion of grain or the other. I'll just remind you of our distillery at Vilakkam Nayanpur, where it is exactly dual feed. We've not set up a smaller grain-based distillery on the site. We've made the entire plant into dual feed, and we believe that that model is exactly what we would like to replicate at these two new locations. One is, of course, Savitkar, where we have a distillery, so it's an expansion, and the other place is Raninangal, where it will be a new distillery. As far as our rate of return is concerned, as I mentioned earlier, we don't really disclose exact paybacks, but we certainly see a very healthy rate of return, and the board, in its consideration of this, has always evaluated the IRRs, and we have hurdle rates that we employ of 16 to 17%, and we're certainly ahead of that as far as these two distilleries are concerned.
Okay. So the, just to continue the feedstock point, I was just wondering if do we have extra molasses, do we have extra room at the current level, assuming the same cane level or same molasses what we had in the last 2-3 years after, do we have the molasses or it's dependent upon only of increase in availability?
So number one, A, the crush, we are expecting, of course, the crush to be higher. So there will be greater molasses availability. However, these distilleries will have to run either on grain or on juice. So we have the juice available.
Okay. Okay. Sir, the second point on monetization of our stake in Triveni Turbine. I know you have said it's opening remarks, it will be expected soon. Any timeline or anything or any floor price apart from Triveni Turbine 171 is the rate, I guess. Apart from that, any development on that front?
No, I have nothing more to add than what I said in my opening remarks, that the divestment is under progress and we're happy and we're hopeful of generating demand quickly and concluding the transaction early.
Okay, sir. So last question from my side on monsoon side. July per se has been below normal for UP especially, right? So how is it going to impact the yields? If you can throw some light on that. Last 10 days, I'm hearing that it's been better. But in general, July has been lower than average, right?
So UP, for UP, July has been, but I'm going to remind you of the remarks, the comments that was made by my colleague Samir. For the Triveni factories, the rainfall has actually been absolutely perfect. Because we have some factories which have greater amount of low-lying area where, frankly speaking, we do not want excess rainfall. And we have benefited over there and we're seeing fantastic growth. And in the areas where the levels are normal or high-lying areas, again, just at the onset of any dryness, we've had fantastic rainfall, and this is perfectly timed for the grand growth period. In addition, I must tell you that all of our factories are near canals. So in terms of irrigation and supply from groundwater, from canal irrigation, that is a distinct possibility for farmers. So I don't foresee any negatives as far as the monsoon or rainfall or irrigation is concerned. Let me just say, as far as irrigation is concerned for Triveni. In fact, I think we do not want excess rainfall. Last year, we had unseasonal and excess rainfall in some of our factories in Western Uttar Pradesh. And this year, clearly, we're moving in terms of the best possible scenario.
Thank you. Shailesh, I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Sanjay from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just have a few questions on the new capacity which you have announced. What I understand, hello, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, yes, I can hear you.
Yeah. So what I understand that it's a, means it includes the grain-based capacity also. So if it is, if you think that it will be running on this on the 6 months basis in off season, would it be right to assume that the full year volumes from the grain would be somewhere around 9 to 10 crore liters?
So you know, it could very well depend. I mean, even in the season, we're just calculating this for you, frankly speaking. But let me just say that it has great optionality. So it may or may not run on juice during the season as well. That is totally dependent on what the prevailing juice price is. As I mentioned in the question ago today, the pecking order of returns is bee heavy, followed by grain, followed by juice. I do anticipate an increase in prices because of the FRP increase and also because of the recent increase in prices that the central government has announced. And that augurs very well for next year's ethanol supply year. And therefore, based on that, we will have that optionality. But if we were to operate on a scenario where during the season we were on juice and during the off-season we were on grain,
about 7 crores.
It would be about 7 crores.
On an annualized basis.
Okay. If I can get some guidance about the current year's ethanol volumes if you can give some guidance about the next year as well.
So we're looking at above 18 crore liters for this year in terms of total spirit. And next year, not including the new distilleries,
We are given a guidance of about 21 crore liters earlier, and it will go up to, with the new additions, it will go, let's say, about 25 crore liters.
Okay. Perfect. Just one on the macro front, given the fact that we are having such a huge production now, we will be at 40 million tons, you know, on a gross level. Would it not be a risk for the sugar prices going forward, given the fact that you know, we may or may not be able to export as a country the huge quantities of 7 to 8 million ton, and you know, in any events of global price declining substantially, and would it also not sort of contrary to what the government earlier was thinking, that you know, replacing the export you know, exports with the ethanol diversion. Now, this is despite the ethanol diversion, means despite the 6 million or 7 million ton lower or diversion of sugar towards ethanol, we still would require 7 to 8 million tons kind of an export every year.
Okay, so, you know, I think you've asked a fairly complex question, okay, but it's the right question to actually ask. As far as next year is concerned, let me try and answer all the 6 or 7 questions you've just asked. Number one, can India export sugar? Yes, it can. Can it export right now? Yes, it can. Where is it exporting from? It's exporting from Karnataka and Maharashtra, and they're ready to export. Millers at this particular point in time are ready to enter into contracts for next year. If they weren't, they wouldn't be starting their factories as early as they are in October of 22 at the start of the next season and starting them off in rows. Frankly speaking, with the start of both these states and the start in rows, all that sugar simply has to be exported, and it will be exported earlier. It will be exported earlier for 2 or 3 reasons. Number one, because I personally believe that there will be some hardening in prices globally as we move forward towards the next sugar year. And number two, because of massive cash flow benefits to the exporting millers in terms of quick price realization. Otherwise, it lies in the stock and they're subject to the release and control mechanism. So I do see India being exporting this quantum of sugar even at these price points. Going forward, I think there is no question about it. If the prices harden, then clearly it may even be faster. And I've also given an indication of the timeline when I expect this export to happen. Number two, going forward, which you're talking about a multi-year situation, I think India's export campaign has to be one that continues. And the reason for that is very simple. We have developed very strong homes for Indian sugar. If India disappears, like it did, like if you go back into our 20 or 30 year history, you know, India has comes into the market, then disappears from the market, etc. That has been the trend as the sugar cycle had existed. I believe the sugar cycle does not exist any longer in its previous form, certainly. And therefore, with continued export over the last few years, India's role in the global balance sheet is ever more important, especially as far as homes in the northern and eastern hemisphere are concerned. And so, I believe that yes, greater quantums of sugarcane will be diverted towards the AEDP program. And as, you know, we're producing a gross value of over 40 million tons, going forward, I see that number going higher. It has to go higher, and it will go higher. And we will be able to meet our demand for ethanol and some quantum certainly for exports in the medium to longer term. That is the type of very happy scenario that I see fructifying over the next few years.
Thank you. Sanjay, I'll request you to come back in the question queue. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sawhney and team. I just have one question because some of my questions have been answered earlier. You mentioned, sir, that the proportion of molasses versus grain will be two-thirds, as against what NITI Aayog has been saying at 50-50. So that is one. Your comment on that and why it should happen? And a related question to that is, what percentage of increase do you expect in juice that would tilt the economics heavily towards juice versus grain? Because my personal opinion is the grain-based capacities are not going to be even 20%. So just thoughts on that.
Well then, you know, you're thinking in the same lines that I'm thinking, which is that sugarcane plays the most important role in our march towards E20. I can't comment on the NITI Aayog numbers. I rely on our own research team and our own modeling in terms of sharing Triveni's numbers with you. And we believe that at least two-thirds is going to come from sugarcane. And it is exactly for that reason. Because the number of applications for grain-based distilleries may be plenty, but physical establishment of infrastructure for solo grain is going to be limited as we go forward. Now, in terms of answering your next question in terms of price, I see another, given the present status quo, if we have another 5 rupee increase in terms of juice ethanol pricing, that is a very happy scenario. Between 5 and 5.5 rupees would be a very happy scenario and would see much greater investment in terms of juice capacity.
And so there was talk of some new technology by Praj which allows you to store juice for a longer period as against earlier using bioenzymes. Does that help in any way in terms of the economics between juice and grain?
Well, it does. If you did not have dual feed, you had single feed, then you would be able to utilize your juice for a longer period during the off-season. You know, the same debate happened with B-heavy molasses. The real questions of B-heavy molasses earlier were, can we actually store it through the duration of the off-season? And the answer, of course, has been yes, we can. Now, as if we look towards juice storage, the quantums that we're talking about are much, much larger. So, you know, for somebody to be able to start using juice through the off-season, the kind of expense in terms of storage is frightening and may not quite work out. And that's something that you have to consider.
Okay.
So you may have to produce the ethanol and store the ethanol for longer periods of time rather than store the juice.
But how long can you store the ethanol?
As long as, there isn't a shelf life on ethanol.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got it. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyash Mehta from SKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I would like to know whether we have finalized any vendor for the setting up of this expansion of distillery program?
No, we have not.
Sir, any plans to finalize in near term, and you can elaborate on that anything?
Yes, I think, you know, in this kind of scenario, we will certainly be looking at cost very, very closely and looking at vendors that can match our costs given what's happened to metal prices going forward. And in terms of closing out the ordering, it'll happen soon, but at this particular point in time, it has certainly not happened, and we have not finalized on vendors. But we're very happy with the kind of expansion and capacity that we're looking at in terms of incorporating new vendors potentially and relooking at our earlier vendors.
Okay, thank you. That's from my end, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Udit Gupta, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. The license sales for FY23, we are looking at 18 crore liters, and FY24, we are looking at 25 crore liters. So after this entire capacity comes online, sir, how much can we look at in FY25?
We would be looking on an annualized basis once the assets are stabilized at somewhere in excess of about 32 crore liters.
Okay. And sir, my next question is that the government is looking at E20 and FlexFuel going forward. So by when can we expect the cars to become compatible with E20 and FlexFuel? Is there a timeline given by the government for that?
No, the government hasn't, because as far as flex fuel is concerned, you're talking about like E85. In fact, even the decision whether it's going to be E85, E93, or what percentage it's going to be has not presently been declared. I see that scenario happening only when we get closer to 25, 26, where those important decisions have to be made. So I think over the next year, we're not going to hear anything about greater levels of blending, but maybe 18 months down the line is when you can expect to start hearing more discussion and hopefully a price. Because as you can well imagine, a lot of capacity has to be developed to be able to meet that energy requirement and that demand.
And for E20, sir, is there any government requirement for the cars to come in?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
E20. E20,
yes.
Sir, E20.
What about E20?
Sir, are the cars expected to come in by next year or something, sir? The new cars?
Absolutely. The cars are my understanding is that the cars are expected to be in place by the start of the next financial year.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And two-wheelers. You're forgetting two-wheelers. The greatest consumption is actually two-wheelers. In fact, most cars, I think, are already pretty much there in terms of material composition, etc. There are some changes that are required, as I understand, technical changes in the engine that are required, and they'll be done. But the real question is about two-wheelers, and I believe that will be
beginning of next year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ria from Equirus Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for my follow-up question. So my question was for power engineering business and our water business. So basically, we are looking at margin decline on a QOQ basis. So is this because we couldn't take past one, we'll take it in the future quarters to come, or what is the change? Also, the percentage of O&M orders in the water segment has been more or less stagnant. So are we looking at O&M portion, or it's more of the EPC portion which is increasing? I think that's it.
So, two questions. I think to look at the revenue, the margin percentage, the margin percentage is in one quarter is not exactly the same, because it depends on what we have dispatched. Over the course of the year, we're certainly not looking at any change in terms of our overall margin structures across the businesses. In fact, I think when I talk separately about both the power transmission business, to be able to grow at the pace that it is with the order booking very much in place, is quite positive that it is doing it without the cost of margin dilution. As far as the water business is concerned, certainly I would again encourage you to look at a longer time horizon because of how we book our revenue, etc., and to look at the annualized results in terms of overall margin. As far as the O&M specific question is concerned, there is absolutely no intention of dilution of one or the other. This is just how the business has come about over the course of the last quarter. As we go forward, the projects, HAM or otherwise, that we're tendering include healthy portions of O&M. And in fact, it is a very determined strategy of our business to offer O&M services to our customers. So this is something that we do very well. This is something that our customers want. We're certainly not about to do away with that.
So current order book consists of higher margin value-added orders?
I will not comment on the margin of our order book because I haven't in the past.
Okay. So my second question would be for the Triveni Turbine, the consideration which we will be getting, that is, will be completely used in the new CAPEX, or are we planning, like, what is the capital allocation for the same?
So in terms of the new CAPEX, we've announced 460 crores of CAPEX. Certainly a portion of it will be funded by debt, because debt is under interest subvention, and we would be rather foolish if we didn't take that. As far as the distillery assets are concerned, the equity contribution will certainly come from internal accruals, because the businesses are throwing off annually a very healthy amount of cash. Now, as far as proceeds of the sale of DTH shares are concerned, what I can share with you is that there will be two things. It will meet some of the normal CapEx requirements of the business, and the remainder will certainly be returned to the shareholders of the company.
Okay, and my last question would be, we are seeing the prices of all the grains have been increasing on a sequential basis. So are we getting any impact in the higher prices? So is the incremental cost or the benefit given by the OMC able to cover the incremental cost increase of the raw material, which is the grain feedstock?
Yes, your assumption is absolutely correct. It is in fact more positive, marginally more positive for the business, and it certainly covers the increased costs.
And we still have more availability of the grains or the feedstock for our.
Absolutely,
right?
We're running at full capacity, at our full rated capacities, and so we have sufficient feedstock for the remainder of the supplier. Absolutely.
Okay, I think that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good sales numbers. I just wanted to check, what is the current sugar price ex mill?
The current refined sugar price is 36.30 for refined sugar, maybe 36.40 even today, and about 70 rupees per quintal lower, so about 35.60 for plantation white.
Right, and with this, now we've seen the FRP has also been increased. But the MSP continues to remain at 31. Any talks on, you know, MSP going up, or any clarity on that front?
I'm afraid I can't offer any clarity. The industry has certainly asked for an increase in MSP. I mean, sugar has been sold well above MSP throughout the country. So it is certainly an ask of the association. We at Triveni have also written to the government requesting them to reconsider the MSP at this particular point. But I'm afraid I have no news to offer you in terms of any progress or any developments from the government in terms of actually increasing that MSP.
Right. But now on the ethanol prices, of course, this will have a positive impact, right? Because in line with FRP, we can expect the ethanol prices to increase for the next season?
Absolutely. And you can expect the ethanol prices to increase because of two factors. Number one, the recent increase for the remainder of the ethanol supply year is a very progressive move by the government to ensure that the increased costs have been taken into account and that there is no margin dilution for ethanol manufacturers. Very, very progressive. Similarly, with an increase, and those are sort of more operating costs and some raw material costs, etc., that have gone up. But your main cost, of course, is sugarcane, as you know. So with the FRP price having gone up, I am very confident that the government will have a very healthy increase in ethanol price derived from sugarcane. And also, for a variety of reasons, I expect ethanol price from grain to also be higher.
Great. That's it for myself. Thanks a lot, and wish you all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anupam Goswami from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, so thanks for taking my question again. So what is the margin of this IINL that we made, Alcohol?
Right, so at this point in time, the unit is losing a little bit of money. We expect not a very substantial amount, but a small amount of money is being lost. And this is really in terms of development costs and marketing costs that we have in place for the IMIL business. Going forward, I would also like to mention that we have not had an increase in the sale price of IMIL for many, many quarters. We expect that when we go beyond H1, we will be absolutely fine and we will be in the black.
Okay, and so by H1, sir, what kind of volumes are we looking at such break-even?
So we've really not given any disclosures in terms of volumes. The volumes are constrained because of manufacturing capacity and the legal limits that we have. And at this point in time, we're at a maximum run rate of 4 lakh cases a month.
Sorry, I did not catch. Run rate of?
4 lakh cases a month.
4 lakh cases a month. Okay. So annualized, that is the target for this fiscal year?
No, it is not quite the target because it really depends on where we are and what supplies we have. As you know, within the IMI business, there is greater attraction for Tetra Pak, and we have several Tetra Pak machines that have been ordered and will be commissioned over the course of the year. So it is dependent on the supply format as well, PET versus Tetra Pak, where Tetra Pak is clearly more desirable by the market. And so as and when that comes in and that is commissioned, and there are unfortunately some delays in terms of getting that machinery. It works out just fine because we're in the process of establishing greater market share in the markets that we supply in. So indeed, you know, when as and when that is commissioned, we will be able to supply more of IMIL as per our legally rated capacity.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for the Q1 earnings conference call for fiscal 23 for Triveni Engineering and Industries Limited. As we look forward to this quarter and beyond, I think that, you know, as far as sugar is concerned, we have to watch and see how the monsoon progresses. By the time we speak to you for the next quarterly results, I anticipate that the sugar season for Triveni will have almost started, and we'll be in a much better position to give you harder data in terms of next year, which I expect to be actually a record year, certainly for Triveni in many respects. The engineering businesses continue to deliver very positive growth, and I look forward to reporting to you more positive news next time around. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Triveni Engineering Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.